Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
I'm Rolando. John.
Rolando. John. And welcome to the show. This week we will review Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Let the bodies, bodies, bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies, bodies, bodies hit the floor. Remember that song?
Yeah. I thought you just made that up on the spot. That was so creative.
Thank you. I was actually going to ask if you did remember that song. I'd be like, because I made it up. And the best types of songs are the ones that sound familiar, is what I've heard.
Yeah. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We give our first thoughts, and then we go to deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner, and we're watching the 7th episode of Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities, titled I'm Never Ready, The Viewing.
The Viewing, directed by Pan Hands.
Pan Hands. Panos Cosmatos, favorite here in Skeleton Boys podcast. We liked his Beyond the Rainbow, though where do we end up on that? We're not going to revisit it anytime soon.
The Beyond the Black Rainbow Beyond the Black is Rainbow. A great one-watch film.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally worth watching because of What's-His-Face that I've already forgotten his name. And I kept saying, like, he should have been famous. But no, I forgot.
He should have been in this movie. I felt like he could have been in this one. Or TV show.
Yeah. Episode. Is it fair to say Peter Weller was underwhelming?
I think people have been saying that his whole career. I'm scared. I'm coming for Peter Weller today. I'm hot today.
Spicy takes. He's the one guy... He's the one guy that died, and they still made him go to work.
Yeah.
So, yeah. RoboCop joke for you guys at home.
Yeah. No, they got it. They got it.
No, they didn't get it. I didn't hear any laughter from the home people at home.
Yeah. No.
Let me hear some laughter. You know, I'm going to give my 2 cents on this real quick.
Okay, cool.
And classic... Pan Hands cosmetology. I am super digging it at the beginning. Then I'm like almost completely bored to death in the middle.
Yeah.
And then it ends fucking great.
What did you,
As I was watching it, I was like, holy shit, it's probably going to end really great. Cause I swear, every time I watch a fucking Pan Hands Cosmetologies movie or show, I'm like, this is the same thing.
Yeah.
It's got the same formula.
Let me ask, is Mandy rewatchable?
Yes. Okay. 1,000,000%.
Okay, because I haven't seen Mandy. Still on my bucket list.
We should just review it then. The folks at home are saying they want to watch it. Because I heard them ask that. I didn't hear them laugh at my jokes.
Let's see. Everybody cheer if you guys want me to watch Mandy.
Yay! Yes. Oh, I heard you.
I don't know. Some rustling.
It could be a great Christmas movie we could watch.
I think for me, Panos Cosmatos. I didn't pronounce his name correctly at all. But his movies are just vibes, right? Because it's set in the 70s, maybe, right?
Question mark? Yeah, but probably the 70s.
But what's interesting about it is that, like, the way they shot it is so stylized. It's not the 70s. It's what magazines and books and, you know, fantasy films were made look like at the time, but they're not. This doesn't look like the actual 70s. Does that kind of make sense?
No, like, it was giving me like really hard. Fuck, what's the name of those movies? Oh, they're so good. The creepy tall man was the name of the character in all of these movies. There's like an orb that flies around, and then it flops out these blades.
Kroll?
Kroll?
Huh? Was it Kroll?
No. It's not a science fiction. It's a series of horror movies with the creepy tall man.
Oh, Phantasm. Talking about
Phantasm. Yeah, Phantasm. Yeah. It was giving me hardcore Phantasm vibes.
Yeah.
Especially with that location.
I mean, his style, his aesthetic is just like beautiful. And like, he just completely owns every aspect of it. And it is so fun that he got a pretty, really talented cast of actors, a lot of comedians, and Peter Weller.
I was
going
to ask, how'd you feel about these comedians? It was like they were good. It was kind of nice to see Eric Andre not play the role in entirely goofy the entire time.
Yeah, he played it very kind of straight.
Yeah, it was kind of nice.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this, I love Steve Agee.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great person to work with, too. I wasn't buying it. I don't know why. It just wasn't like... It almost felt like he was the same character from Peacemaker, just like pretending to be richer.
I felt like that's his thing, right? That's how he's going to be his... What? Like, he's playing a character not too similar than the last character he played. There's being asked to play it, right? Because I'm sure he has a lot.
Yeah.
He has a range of talent. I'm not going to just assume that he's just only this guy. Even though I think that's what is, you know, fascinating about him is that, like, the type of character he is seems authentic. That, you know, so it's like maybe...
That's true. Maybe that's what I was getting from it. I just maybe didn't like the... I don't think you're supposed to like any of these characters, really.
I don't think, like... I think I got very vague ideas. So when it was called The Viewing, I thought that they were going up to watch some sort of movie or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And he was like a recluse director who's made another movie. And I was like, oh, I love movies like this, you know, shows or something, you know. And so he was showing this like weird group of people he put together to go view something he made and it being like fucked up.
Just talking about it, I'm realizing I liked it a lot more than I thought. Just more so overall. Because I was about to complain about certain actors being underutilized, but I think like he does that in every show or movie he makes. Like you have no idea really who's going to do what until like the end. Like what's her name? The lady from the Kingsmen and
Sophia Starch Botella, yeah,
that like perfectly beautiful woman. I was waiting for her to be like the main bad guy, maybe. Like I was waiting for something like that, and then no, there's no. There's no possible way you could prepare yourself or figure out what is going to happen at the end. There's like no earthly way.
Really?
I mean, because I had no idea that thing was going to pop out or like whatever the fuck was going to happen. I was like, what? Oh, I don't know why I'm trying not to spoil it.
Yeah.
When they look at that thingy, I had a feeling like, oh, I guess they're going to die or something. But I wasn't expecting them to like melt or this thing to pop out and like merge itself with Peter Weller.
Yeah.
Which I did like that ending. Like they're all fucked up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. I think I like this short way fucking more than I thought. Because now I'm thinking about all the moments like he keeps presenting all these like different types of drugs and gifts. Like, oh, did you want some of this cocaine? It's moon cocaine or whatever the fuck. It's like space rock cocaine,
right? Yeah.
And he has that long stupid thing about like it took millions of years to blah 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 here and blah 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 here and now just for us to enjoy it now. And then that whiskey, like, it went through several wars where this was the only bottle that survived and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I was like, that's pretty rad. I thought he was going to poison him.
I saw the poster for this and I read the description, so I kind of knew less what it would lead or where I was going. But I thought it was a movie. And that didn't really happen. And like you said, I think I feel the same way. I was intrigued by the opening and the style and the vibe of the short. And it is kept throughout. Like, he's one of the most interesting directors. But, like, story-wise, it's, like, barely there.
Yeah, like, there's no... Yeah.
It's like the story is just the excuse to get him to do the... wonderful, you know, handle of his craft that he so expertly does. Yeah. I could see maybe a younger Rolando in college would love this.
Yeah.
But, you know, older, wiser, less patient Rolando doesn't really...
Wants popcorn flicks, baby.
Yeah.
Give me a movie I can get drunk to, baby. Morbius.
Morbius. Michael Morbius.
I really enjoyed Charlene Yee's character.
Was fun.
That whole beginning, she's in that like Porsche or what was it? Or like a Ferrari or...
At the end?
And she's like driving insanely fast at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then she parks and then she like gets out and she's just like this meek, timid person. And then, at the end when she's driving away with the only two people to survive, Eric Andre and Charlene Yee, which I thought was fucking funny. Like, they're running out. Like, what, Eric Andre was supposed to be sober going in?
Yeah.
He gets convinced to try all this shit. They're running away from this thing that's like destroying this monster.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to do the cocaine. Like, no, hold on. He's like, dude, we got to get the fuck out of here. And then they bounce. And then I like that this Peter Weller monster, because Peter Weller is still sentient, right? Like, he's like, please, like, help me, kill me or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where there's like a gold AK-47 on the wall and his like assistant tries to shoot him and he doesn't die.
Mm-hmm.
I just like that ending shot where they make it back to the city, which I can only assume is Detroit or something, because it looks like it's in a shithole. No offense, Detroit. But, and he's like crawling out of the sewer, like in slow motion, just like stomping around. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, that was fine. I was okay with that. I was slightly disappointed. It plays out pretty much as you expect once they... Because I feel like the conversation goes nowhere and we're just, you know, kind of just talking circles around BS. Not really, like, learning or getting anything. And what's great is that, like, what really kind of sells it is also all the acting's spectacular. They all seem, like, engaged and, like, game for this thing. I'm pretty sure they're all really excited to work with a guy like Panos Cosmatos, you know? Because he's a visionary director, had just a big hit with Mandy. So I imagine there's...
Yeah, Panhandle... Cosmatots is like the newcomer.
There's not enough. I mean, there's like styles galore to the point where, like, what I mean by that is there's like constant lens flares everywhere that gets mostly annoying. And the one lens flare I did love was that they create a, when they're escaping Eric Andre and the, what's her name?
Charlene Yee.
He drives away in the whatever, the Lamborghini or whatever, and like there's like a streak of red light off the taillights, which I thought was a nice touch. That looked really cool. So he's definitely playing with, you know, lens flares and stuff. So go ahead. No, I was gonna say, like, this shit, there's a lot of really cool shit. Like, every frame of this short is like beautiful, you know. There's not an ugly shot in this whole thing, and it's everything. The space, the the camera positions, everything, that all the negative space that's left in it, and the tight close-ups when they're talking and stuff. Like, it's a fucking stylized, beautifully shot short TV, yeah. You know, TV episode. But but it's just like, there's nothing to, like, besides describing, like, if I were just to tell somebody about this episode, like, I tell them, like, well, there's a lot of, like, stylized stuff, but, like, there's really no, like, story to, like, sell somebody to watch this episode. Does that kind of make sense?
They go and look at this thing that starts melting people, and then it turns into a monster. Like, oh, that's rad. Like, the whole thing is just them running away from it. Actually, it's the last 5 minutes, but there's a lot of talking. Okay, this is what I thought this short was going to be, according to Guillermo's
description in the beginning.
I thought it was going to be like, especially when they get into that place, that it was going to be like a Minotaur type of situation where they were going to run away. Like, I thought it was going to be like a Werewolf at Night sort of situation.
Okay, yeah.
But no.
Okay, it was, yeah. Not. It was not, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't... I mean, I get it, you know? Like, I get the Blade Runner references. I get the Clockwork Orange references, you know? Like, I get the Indiana Jones references. Like, it's all there, but, like...
But did you get the RoboCop reference when Peter Weller, is it him, right? That what's his name that played Red, Foreman in that 70s show?
Kurt Underwood, is it?
Underwood, yeah, yes. You remember when he gets shot by that thing and he like starts to melt in RoboCop?
Mm-hmm.
Eh? Maybe that's what Pantaloon's Karun Corolla was trying to do with the monster.
Well, they were a little on the nose when Peter Weller made like a finger. He made a gun with his fingers and shot it towards Eric Andre. Eric Andre looked at his dick.
No, yeah, that's right.
No, I'm kidding. That didn't happen.
No, I know. That's right. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. No.
What would you have done if this monster ended up looking sort of like a frog robot?
I would have, frog robot, yeah.
I don't know, I forgot what they were called in RoboCop.
So did I just, yeah.
I remember really liking the frog robots, because at one point, RoboCop shoots the frog robot, and it falls to the ground, and then the foot starts to flap, and as a kid, I thought that was the fucking best thing on earth, and I wanted to rewatch that part a million times. Just a frog robot flap its fucking foot around. And that's our review of
a viewing
panties, camarillos, cigarillos, panties, cigarillos, the viewing.
Yeah, well said, John. Yeah, no, I don't.
I can't wait to be able to work for him. And then he's like, hey, so I listened to your podcast, buddy.
Oh, great. And then you just walk away. That's how you handle that.
Yeah. Thanks, fan. And just walk away.
High five. So it goes.
Oh, I can't give you an autograph now, buddy. See you later, Pantaloons. And just walk away.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. I'm okay with that.
Peter Weller's in it.
He's
a part
fine.
Of me thought. Yeah. I thought, what's his name from... shit, he just came out of Nope. He was in The Crow, and he was in Alien Resurrection, and
Keith David.
Keith David. That guy.
No? Kiki
yeah,
Palmer.
That's it, right?
No.
Kiki Palmer.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What's his name? It's like Michael Wincott.
Michael Wincott, yeah.
Yeah, he was in like Dead Man and Basquiat. I kept thinking it was going to be him from like the things, even though I saw Peter Weller's name.
Yeah. Even though you saw Peter Weller's name.
Yeah. Like, ah, it's Peter Weller. Cool.
echo wait cut any second.
What if we find out that Peter Weller wasn't putting on a voice for RoboCop in his entire career? Like, that's just the way he talked. You guys want to do cocaine?
What they should have did is that they should have realized it wasn't working, and then they should have got Robert John Burke, who replaced him in RoboCop 3. Who I quite enjoy. He's an excellent actor. Completely underrated.
No, I don't know. I think they should reshoot it and just have Peter Weller do all the RoboCop voice for everything.
He was in Thinna.
Thinna. You know what? Actually, how would you have felt if it was F. Murray Abraham doing that part? But F. Murray Abraham doing the 13 Ghosts character, but as this eccentric billionaire.
Well, if F. Murray Abraham did, I would have liked him to do all the parts. Like, he would have been the Steve H.E. Farr and Rick Andre and Charlene.
Let's get the makeup team from The Nutty Professor with Eddie Murphy.
Or Cloud Atlas. Just
it's just him like with different fake mustaches.
Yeah.
And it's all the same character, all the 13 Ghosts, eccentric billionaire.
I think he could have done it. Separate, yeah. I would have played all the parts.
This is some exquisite, very expensive marijuana. Would you like to try some? Yes, I would love to try some of that marijuana. And then Peter Weller comes in. Hello there, boss. Here is your expensive marijuana. Put your hands up. I don't know. This could work, I think.
Writes itself.
I think Pamela Anderson Osmatos should listen to us and take these notes.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, he needs to be listening to us. He clearly listens to us. Yeah, yeah.
If he wants to make a hit, he's got to listen to the Skeleton Boys podcast at Skeleton Boys Pod on Twitter, on Elon Musk's Twitter.
We follow back. So,
that's our motto. We follow back.
We don't engage in any other way, but we will follow you back.
Yeah. You could murder dogs. We'll follow you. Don't worry. Please don't murder dogs. No,
it's weird. It's okay. It was all right. More excited about the next one. The last one. And you know, maybe for the last one, I know we shouldn't talk about it on air, right? But like, maybe for the last one, we could talk about how we felt about the whole series. I'll probably ask that question. So, start thinking about maybe some favorites, some mists.
Tasty morsels for you guys to snack on before the next episode.
if we record it, I don't know.
Maybe my favorite one was the Porno's Crooner Mottos episode.
Yeah, maybe. We don't know. Tune in to find out. All right. Let's move over to our main review of Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. John, do you want to give...
Bodies hit the floor.
That's good. Should really write that down, you know, put a tune to it, like some... Early new metal.
Let me write out some lyrics real quick. Let's see. I don't think this has ever been done. What if I list out numerically some stuff for lyrics?
People love counting.
One, nothing's wrong with me.
Okay.
Two, nothing's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
Three, nothing's wrong with me. Let the bodies, bodies, bodies hit the floor. No, that's kind of, those were the actual lyrics, by the way. At one point, he's like, one, nothing wrong with me. Two, nothing wrong with me. All right.
It's like a Sesame vibe.
Bodies, bodies, bodies. yeah, exactly.
It's counting.
It's like, one, nothing wrong with me. Two, nothing wrong with me.
All right. What's the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary. drum roll, please.
All right. Let's see. I didn't actually put these in order. And one of them's kind of a stretch, but it was giving me the same vibes. It's probably the worst one. You're welcome, everyone. Coming in at number one for Let the Bodies Hit the Floor is Overprivileged Youths Play Tag.
That's accurate.
And number two, Young Adults Play Killer Game.
Okay.
I just didn't want to spoil anything for this because I ended up, okay, spoiler, I ended up kind of really enjoying the fuck out of it towards the end. I was like, oh shit, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
And coming in at number one, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Okay, I don't think I got that one.
Well, because it's like, remember, it's kind of like a whodunit, but nobody did it sort of vibe too.
Oh.
Remember, it just ended up being like a weird sex game with the couple. I mean, it's not quite the same thing, but I mean, I shouldn't say sex game. I don't know if it was a sex game.
It was sexy. So.
Yeah. I mean, I had a bony for it. I just assumed everybody else did too.
Richard Burton. Yeah. Boner material.
Yeah. And Elizabeth.
Hurley.
Curly. No. Holy fuck. How did I forget this actress's name? She was like super famous.
Was she though, John, if you don't remember her?
Well, according to a lot of people I talk to on set, I tend to forget all the famous people's names, but I can tell you all the obscure fuckers.
You want to try again? Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. It's named after a trade.
Panhandle Cosmer Models.
It's okay. It's this is a fun game. Let's. It's named after
Elizabeth Taylor.
There it is. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, that's you love bodies, and.
So yeah, what did you think?
What did I think?
Okay, I'm gonna repeat this.
All right,
I was super stoked to watch this for a couple of reasons. Right, what's her name from Borat's in it, and two, Connor O'Malley's in it, and I was waiting for Connor O'Malley the entire fucking film. Spoiler alert: he comes out for 3 seconds at the very end,
okay,
but he is talked about ad nauseum.
As you should. And who is Connor O'Malley? What else has he been in? What else would I have seen him in?
Oh, well, he is a comedian. He's got like a very niche following because I think he's hilarious.
Clearly you're a fan of him.
I don't want to point out, like, he's not famous because he's married to Adi Bryant, but he is married to Adi Bryant.
Who?
Adi Bryant from SNL.
I don't know who that is.
And Shrill. The TV show Shrill.
Oh, okay. I see who you're talking about. Show's
Connor
pretty
O'Malley,
good.
I am a huge fan of because of another comedic actor that was also on SNL for 1 year called Tim Robinson. So I know Connor O'Malley from basically all the TV stuff Tim Robinson's done because he always pops out.
Oh, okay. Cool.
There's a very hilarious sketch. I want to say it's in the first season of I Think We Should Leave, but it could also be in the episode of Tim Robinson's The Characters, where Tim Robinson has a bumper sticker that says honk if you're horny, and Connor O'Malley is like driving behind him frustrated and then looks at his bumper sticker and then aggressively, angrily starts honking the horn at him. And the entire sketch is him trying to find Tim Robinson around town and just starts honking at him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's horny, and he follows him all the way to Tim Robinson's mom's funeral and starts honking aggressively from far away. And Tim Robinson finally goes to confront him, and Connor O'Malley runs away from him. And he starts like running around the cemetery like, oh, he's like, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, haven't you ever been so horny that your stomach hurts? Oh, you had the bumper sticker. Give me some porn. That's why you had it, right? It's really stupid. You should enjoy it at home. Watch it. support Connor O'Malley. Okay. And I think you should leave.
Okay. What did I think of this movie? Okay. So I really enjoyed the movie. I think that there's some really nice performances between all the leads. I like the skewering of, it's kind of like, this is Twitter, the movie, right? Like, it's just got everyone is behaving, very contemporary. It's they sort of like the people, like influencers type of behavior. Everybody aspires to be, you know, popular for nothing, and they try to like use social media to gain it for them, their own kind of celebrity.
I think in general, across the board, people describe this movie as a satire on Gen Z.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. And I think that they did a wonderful job of making me feel like I was hanging out with these people, like thrusting me. And it was shot and done in a way that I felt like I was with them. And they did a great job of at first showing the dynamic of the group and showing that they are all kind of talking about each other by quick little cutaways, cut off. You know, they're saying something and they cut themselves off, or they're like whispering to other characters, and it sort of creates a lot of tension, especially, you know, walking into this movie that there's going to be there's going to be murders and people are going to die and stuff like that. So you always want to be, so it's kind of like a slasher slash, you know, whodunit kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was intrigued by that. And it was actually, again, like, every performance was great. I loved pretty much everybody, and everybody was very distinct in their personality, you know, each character.
Because all of them, little known fact, Rolando is a Pete Davidson super fan.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think they did a good job of like outlining each character, giving them specific traits that, like, I never got lost. There's, you know, how there's some movies we watch and we're like, I don't know their name. I don't know. I confused them between two actors. There's always instances in movies where they don't do a good enough job of like defining characters. And I think they did a really great job of
they established the shit out of it. Yeah.
So yeah, I knew who everybody was. I knew names. I knew faces. I was never confused. And that is a complete, you know, testament to the direction and the writing and everything. Where I think and we can talk about it in spoilers. I think I wasn't satisfied with the ending of this movie.
I fucking loved it.
And
I thought it was so funny.
So I saw this with my fiance, and she loved it too. Yeah, we're not longer together. Yeah.
Because you disagreed with the ending. So.
Yeah. And she, she loved it too. She thought it was hilarious. She's like, oh, I really love that movie. It's really good. And I was like, yeah, I loved it up to the end. But overall, yeah, no, I was super, I just, we'll talk about that in spoilers, but, I think everything leading up to it, I was totally engaged with.
Also, I was excited to see Connor O'Malley in a feature film. It wasn't until like really digesting the film that I realized he's Max.
Yeah.
Because Connor O'Malley is not close to any of their ages. He is closer to Lee Pace's age than he is the rest of the kids.
I would say all the men are older than the women, or who the actresses portraying the characters.
No, isn't Pete Davidson like in his mid-20s?
Is he though? Is he though? I think he's closer to my age, to be honest.
Yeah, he was born in 1983.
Yeah, but that's still what, 25?
Is it 25?
No, I don't know. I just guessed.
I don't know. Yeah, me too. I'm like, oh wait, it's gonna be 2023. So, quick maths. He's going to be 30. He's 29.
There you go. So he is closer to my age.
I guess he's older than us.
But no, I think like
he's an old grandpa.
What did you? I'm gathering you felt similar.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm not going to say it's like my favorite movie of the year, but I really liked the ending, and that made me like the movie more, I think, because I was kind of like, this is pretty good, but I wasn't loving it.
Mm-hmm.
Because once they start getting into like the whodunit part, like things get aggressively a little too fast at some point for me. Like I feel like they did a really good job of like laying everything out, and then when the action started happening, I don't know, it almost felt like there was like a budget cut and they needed to shoot out stuff really quickly or something. Like they ran out of time to do something.
I think they, yeah, and I think what you're in honing in on, and maybe agree to disagree here, but I think they try to do like a love triangle there at the end between, what is it? B, Sophie, and what's her name? Jordan. They try to do like a quick little like love triangle between the three of them. And it felt a little over stuffed, I guess, considering where we end. It made sense in terms of like Sophie and B and their relationship. Because we literally like this kind of just about their relationship. I mean, literally open with Sophie and B making out, right? Very close-ups and intensely, and we sort
that's
of learn
a sad ending too. I think the more now that you put it that way, because I mean, this is the way I took it, but clearly Sophie is unfaithful, right? She is not a good person. The entire movie, it made it seem like Jordan was trying to protect B, but I think Jordan was just jealous.
I kind of picked up early on that because how aggro Jordan was behaving towards B, to the point where she even like during that like drinking game, she like hits the shit out of B. So that kind of clued me in on that she was behaving as somebody who was jealous, because
that could also be sexual tension. Just kidding.
yeah, she clearly, you know, is attracted to Sophie, and
right,
that was kind of my early pick as the killer was Sophie, the way it was introduced. If we're doing a slasher film, I think I was more interested in the slasher film aspect of it than the skewering political, you know, political social media comedy that it ends up being.
The commentary.
Did
you at some point think it was going to be B's mom? Like it was going to be like a Friday the 13th sort of deal?
No, I just assumed it was somebody here, because I think intently we were like, they were intently saying like, oh, it's somebody in this house. And I think that plays pretty, because a lot of it seemed like a movie that was about like fake friends and the people that we kind of just socially talk to, but don't really have any kind of closeness to. Which is kind of the nature of almost all the relationships. And it seems like we get that a lot, right? We're like, rich people just hang out with rich people and they talk shit about them. That's literally what, you know, amazing Fox show, The OC, was about. So
one of my favorite lines in the thing is, what's the name of, she was kind of the airhead.
Alice.
Right. Alice.
Yeah.
When Alice gets mad at Jordan and says, like, I hang out with you out of pity with your like bullshit rags to riches story. Yeah. Your family was upper middle class. Like that was an insult.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. She had the most jokes in the whole thing. She became kind of like the funny comedic character.
I was also, a part of me was also expecting it to be like, this was all like some sort of sick rich people game that was put on. Like it was actually still a part of the game, and that B was just like the victim,
mm-hmm.
like a hazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would have been fun.
But no, I was satisfied with that ending. I thought that was fucking funny.
So, yeah, because I think that's the interesting thing. It's like Sophie and B lies, but it's more of a, you know, like a white lie slash, you know, she did it out of, you know, being ashamed that she wasn't who she said Sophie was, and she was scared to lose Sophie. And Sophie was just a manipulative, lying, just trying to get her way, you know, kind of narcissistic mentality to her, you know?
Yeah. Also, can we agree that a car battery is not going to fucking die because you left your fucking visor, like, your mirror open?
Yeah. No, that was unbelievable. Yeah, that was kind of unbelievable to think. So if you don't have anything else, do you want to go to spoilers, John?
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. You know what? I'm just going to be real frank with our audience because they deserve to know the truth.
Okay, go for it.
We had some technical difficulties and we lost the last like 12 minutes.
On my end, I fucked it up.
Errors, yeah.
Yeah, well, I fucked
it up. You didn't
fuck
it up. It's the computers, our computers are getting confused. So we're trying to recreate the best we can with the conversation we just had. So that was me acting like what my interpretation of me.
So you guys missed a stimulating 10-12 minute unbelievable conversation. One for the books.
Yeah. So we're going to go back into Lee Pace gets kettlebelled into the head, dead by B. The foreign... Let me do a quick rundown of what we talked about. The only foreign person in the movie is the only person that actually murders people intentionally.
Right.
To protect. So... I feel like in the grand scheme of things, she's definitely going to get deported.
And she could
be back with her mom, who is borderline. Borderline what? Yeah. Never told. She is just borderline. So.
Like she lives on the border?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't.
Kind of like the Alice character who takes X years old amount of drugs.
Yeah.
From what's her name? Julie? Sophie.
Sophie.
Who is supposed to be sober. And allegedly she gets so fucked up she falls down the stairs and dies. But people think she got pushed. I guess. I don't know. We're just assuming she fell down the stairs.
So we also said some interesting things about Pete Davidson dying and it leading to it kind of being a fun roast of social media. We questioned whether or not the video was uploaded. The timeline didn't really sync up.
Yeah, because the only reason I think he had to have uploaded... Okay, so he's trying to recreate the fun little trick, the bottle opening trick Lee Pace did with the machete.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to do it for like a TikTok, and then he's not able to pull it off. So he starts to bring the blade, like he's swinging the blade towards himself, accidentally stabs himself in the neck. And the conclusion I came to is even while he's bleeding out and dying, he still goes over to his phone to stop it. And I guess to upload the video, because otherwise the phone would continue to record and the phone would be dead.
Right. Yeah. My thing with that, I think where I've landed on it is that was a very fun ending, but I was invested on the wrong thing. I was more invested on the slasher murder whodunit aspects of it. And yep. That's why I felt a little let down, which I mentioned earlier in this review, that with the ending, because I wanted more there. And I think they actually do with that ending. I don't know if here's something new. Maybe we didn't talk about in the other riveting 10-12 minutes that we can no longer talk about or hear. Do you think I felt like they did a disservice to B's and Sophie's relationship? We, in a sense, that is It seemed very serious and intense, and that they're clearly were lying to each other in some different ways. But then they kind of just find out that, you know, that all of this was kind of just accident and circumstance. And yeah. Max kind of sees him, and then it ends. Like, do you feel like that's kind of shortchanging? I kind of wanted maybe, for me, one more resolution to their relationship, or more something more definitive out of it.
I don't know. It's a 6 week old relationship, and they didn't know each other. Like, I didn't. It
true.
It kind of made me think like the ultimate end is like Sophie is just like a shitty person no matter what, and
mm-hmm.
B is just protective because she's like chained at the hip to her mom. Which is evident by like the billions of phone calls she tries to make to call her mom, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just like a very, sort of commentary on like what Gen Z does with relationships. And it's just all lies and they're just young and stupid. And, the whole jumping to conclusions and killing each other is just kind of also a commentary on like how America handles things now.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to know the truth. Really. They just like, let's, oh my God, this happened. Like, did it really? I don't know. Yes. Yes, it did. Like, well, no, it didn't. But.
So that's an interesting point. Yeah. Cause they also make a point to say that B is lying about who she is because they have never heard of her at Utah State, even though she said she went there. And you find out that she, of course, said a little white lie also again, where she said that she attended, but had to leave because she was taking care of her mother who was borderline. Which we can't quite figure out what that means.
She's borderline. Yeah. That was actually a funny conversation because it's like a very serious moment. And it's like, oh, she's what? She's borderline. Oh, no, she's borderline. And then Alice is defending that, like, that's so sad. And they're like, shut up, Alice. Like, what? It's like a real thing, a real sickness. Like, it's so sad that she's borderline. But, like, nobody ever bothered to ask what? Borderline what?
Yeah.
It's borderline.
Yeah, no. It was super funny. Yeah, Alex did have some of the best parts. Rachel Sennett had some really great lines. Goofiest character of the bunch. Okay, cool. Do you have any last thoughts?
No. Connor O'Malley is my favorite part of the film.
Oh, we know. We got a good 5 minutes of you talking about Connor O'Malley and the sketch you like of it.
There's so many, like, there's such depth to his character who is only talked about. Well, when he comes out, he's got a scar on his forehead and you're like, wow, riveting. Are we ready for these sexy bones?
Yeah, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Let the Bodies, Bodies, Bodies Hit the Floor. Ah. 6 sexy, spooky bones. Once again. Let the Bodies, Bodies, Bodies Hit the Floor. Ah.
Yeah, same. I think I'm going to do also 6. I enjoyed large aspects of it, and it is a crowd-pleasing movie. So,
yes. It's fun. Yeah.
It's a fun movie.
It's closer to like a popcorn flick for horror fans.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think we also mentioned this plays out very much more like a Blumhouse film, other than what you do not like elevated, the idea of an elevated horror as a genre. But we did mention mm-hmm. it is nowhere near the caliber of like Midsommar or Hereditary.
Yeah.
But still not bad. Give Let the Bodies, Bodies, Bodies Hit the Floor a chance and a watch.
Yeah. Yes, this is definitely indeed. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to...